I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are halfway through our final show of the work week. That is music to my ears. At one point on Thursday, I had to wake up early because we had an all-host video conference call. So DA, Marash, Brandon Tierney from Tiki and Tierney, JR from JR Sport Brief, Zach Gelb, who else was on the call? And our boss. And so it was this big Zoom call. And I had to wake up early for it because of our various schedules. I'm the one who drew the short straw. And I had to wake up after 4 hours. So kind of funny. And I don't mean funny, haha. My boss and I were texting about something related to the show at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it dawned on me and I texted this to him. Hey, boss, we have a meeting in 5.5 hours. And he was like, oh, that's so true. Talk to you then. And I was like, yeah, only one of us slept all night. So anyway, he had to schedule the meeting. He apologizes every time. But so I wake up and I look terrible, of course. But you know what? The guys show up and they don't care. They are wearing hats backward and they've got all kinds of funny facial hair. And so whatever. So I have to do that conference call with the boss and with the other hosts. And then because I had to have coffee just to wake up and be coherent, I, of course, cannot go right back to sleep. And I wouldn't be able to anyway. Once I'm awake and I'm staring at a screen, I have a hard time getting back to sleep. So I then start a bunch of other calls about the house, calls to the bank about some finances. And before I know it, and then a couple of other personal calls, before I know it, between the conference call on GoToMeeting, and the phone calls, I've been talking nonstop for 3 hours. Okay, that's enough. I need to go outside and get some fresh air. And because my backyard had turned into a mini jungle, it was time to not only mow the backyard, but I had a bunch of weeding to do. First round of spring weeding. I kid you not. There are some weeds in my flower bed, which is all lilies, that were past my knees. That's how tall these really thin, awful weeds were. So I went through and I did a bunch of yard work and weeded out that flower bed. And then you guys know how those weeds grow up in the cracks between your driveway and your sidewalk. Oh my gosh, it's so annoying. Anyway, so I usually have to weed those twice a year. So I did that as well. And that kind of helped me shake out the cell phone brain, the whole thing about the conference calls and the phone calls and everything else. It was yard work that gave me the escape. But I was so, what was I? I was so kind of distracted by all the different calls and voices I had talked to that when I went outside to do yard work, I tweeted, "Happy Wednesday." And didn't even realize it. I left it there until someone pointed out to me that it was actually Thursday. So yes, I had my days mixed up. My brain was all warbled and jumbled, and all that to say, I'm really glad that it's nearly the end of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Which of the return to play plans do you prefer? Is it the NBA? 22 teams, one site, all in Orlando. They're going to finish some of the regular season, not all, because it's impossible without all 30 teams on site, but they're going to finish some of the regular season. And then they're going to go into the traditional playoff format. Four rounds of seven-game series. And there were a lot of conversations, debates that went into them coming to this discussion or to this format, and finally having this discussion about the vote and it getting passed. And Commissioner Adam Silver joined Inside the NBA on TNT on Thursday once the vote had passed to take us through the various pieces.
What we've come up with now is playing without fans for the time being at a single site, and that would be in Orlando, Florida, at Disney Wild World of Sports Complex. We had extensive discussions, again, with our teams and the players about what the format should be, and ultimately we concluded the fairest way to do this would be to take the 16 teams that, as of March 11th, would have qualified, 8 in the West, 8 in the East, for the playoffs, but then to take what we're calling the 6 other bubble teams, and that is, and it turns out it's 5 teams in the West and 1 team in the East, and those are the teams that were within 6 games of the 8th seed. And then we would begin playing by having what we're calling seeding games, and that is games to determine who ultimately should be the top 8 in the West and the top 8 in the East. And it also give the players an opportunity after training camp to play not quite regular season games, but meaningful games before they go right into the playoffs. And then once the playoffs start, and this was a point made by Michael Jordan, you know, whose team, the Charlotte Hornets, are not one of the 22 teams, but he's clearly the most respected voice in the room when it comes to basketball. He felt it was very important that after we established the 16 teams, we not be gimmicky, because there were a lot of proposals on the table to do unique tournaments and pool play like you see in international competition. And we took many of those proposals very seriously. But I think ultimately, and I agreed with Michael, that there's so much chaos in the world right now. I mean, even before the racial unrest we're experiencing now, that let's come as close to normal as we can. And as close to normal as we can is top 8 in the West, top 8 in the East, playing 4 rounds of 7 games. So then that's what we intend to do, and our goal is to crown a champion.
Adam Silver giving you the lay of the land for the NBA's return to play on TNT Thursday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, and he mentioned Michael Jordan, very powerful voice, very well respected, maybe more so after the airing of The Last Dance. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody inside the NBA knows Michael Jordan and knows what he brings to the table. He says no gimmicks. With everything going on in our nation right now, let's get as close to normal, quote unquote, as we possibly can, which means after they finish up these seeding games that Adam Silver turned them, so 8 regular season games, a few meaningful contests before they jump into the postseason, they will play the postseason the way they normally do, except for the Orlando piece. 4 rounds, 7-game series, starting July 31st and wrapping up, if there's a game 7, in mid-October. Incidentally, 1 month before the NBA believes they should start training camps for next year, which is odd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The players' vote is next, but that's expected to be overwhelmingly yay, as opposed to, or I guess it would be aye, overwhelmingly aye, as opposed to nay. The NHL has a 24-team format. The regular season is over. They're jumping in with play-in series. So that's their way of extending an opportunity to those teams that are not in the top 8 in each conference. And then they're doing this round robin for the top 8 teams. Little more gimmicky, maybe. But which one do you like better, NBA or NHL, and why? A lot of you are saying to me that you think they should cancel the seasons and just scrap it and start the next seasons on time. Does it matter to you that these athletes want to finish what they started? Does it matter to you that they want to play? I'm not sure why you would say they should just scrap it. No, it doesn't look like what it has looked like in the past, but doesn't mean they can't still finish what they started. Doesn't mean they can't still have champions. if the teams want to move forward and the athletes themselves are not resistant, in fact, overwhelmingly on board with getting back to the court and the ice, why don't you support that? If you're someone who thinks that they should just scrap it and start their training camps for next season in September, just forget about it this summer, I'd like to know why. Brian on Facebook says NBA should just go ahead and cancel this season and focus on starting on time next season. But why? My question is why? If all the athletes want to play, and we know the teams want to play because there's a chance for them to recoup some revenue, not a lot. You know, there's going to be one site and it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be beneficial for really any of the teams themselves except the TV money. And they make that TV money in the postseason. But if you think they should just forget all about it, I'd like to know why, especially when the most powerful voices in the NBA got on a conference call a few weeks ago and they let it be known, these are superstars, that they are all about finishing this season, that none of them want to scrap it. Is there risk? Yes, but they're willing to take that risk. They're willing to jump through all these hoops and go through this format that is unlike anything we've ever seen. They're willing to do it to finish. So why wouldn't you be on board with that? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Tim on Facebook, I like the NBA plan better. I want to see what kind of shape they're all in being away from each other. Nets with possibly Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, though I thought that the general manager of the Nets had said KD was not coming back no matter what. I guess that could always change, but I thought that they had settled that going back a couple months. And Tim says Milwaukee had something special going before all this happened. Should be interesting. Another post on Facebook from Jim. Hate the fact the baseball owners and players can't make a deal. That's pathetic. Yeah, I mean, it is. They look really bad right now. Let's see. Tony says NHL right now. Let's go Rangers. Well, it's not right now. That's the thing. The NHL won't be reconvening until mid-July either for its training camp. So neither one of these sports will be returning with actual games that count until the end of July. John on Facebook, NHL, because they're receding after every round. Okay, so that's one major difference. The NBA is not going to reseed. They're going to give teams the chance to play another 8 regular season games, and that will decide the seeds. Maybe nothing changes. Maybe something changes. But they're going to go with the seeds the way they're stacked once they finish those 8 games, whereas the NHL will actually reseed and will it shuffle the deck, in essence, in every round. Craig on Twitter, A-Law Radio, big fan of the plan in the NBA. It gets the job done. It's simple. It gives us a champion, and it doesn't feel gimmicky like the NHL. So in his opinion, the NHL's plan is gimmicky because of the round robins, because of the play-in series, because they're doing all this other stuff before they get to the traditional Stanley Cup format. So yeah, good to hear from you on Twitter or on Facebook. And again, our number is 855-212-4227. For the NBA, the players would be getting back to their markets later in June. So sometime over the next several weeks, they'll be getting back to their individual markets. You know, there are some facilities that have been opened for workouts, 4 at a time in the building, no more than that, shooting at a hoop individually, using the weight rooms. And many of these guys are in markets that are not their own because not all the facilities are open. Most of them are, not all of them are. And so they're going to get back to their markets, and you've got guys that are overseas as well. So that's an issue for both the NBA and the NHL, expected to get some help from the government with the travel. And then they're going to need time to play together too. So 2 months is what it's going to take before they believe they'll be ready to go. And they hope that giving the extra time will prevent unnecessary injuries, muscle pulls with the athletes after such a long layoff. So which plan do you prefer? 855-212-4CBS. And then on Twitter and on Facebook. And coming up next, really cool athlete that I would like to introduce you to. She is a pro golfer who normally trains and lives in Atlanta, but Sarah Hoffman put golf on the back burner so that she could return to her native Michigan and use her nursing skills, her nursing education and degree to serve on the front lines during the pandemic. Had a chance to talk to her, and she's amazing.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
To this point this spring, that has been the most high-profile golf event and really golf moment. Peyton, Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, and the Match 2 that raised $20 million for COVID-19 relief efforts. But, you know, there are a lot of pro golfers out there that are anticipating the opportunity to get back to what they love and to get back to what they do for a living. PGA Tour returns next week with its first event in Fort Worth. Other of the tours are trying to, you know, ramp up and figure out what works the best. We stumbled across an incredible story of an LPGA Tour hopeful on the Symetra Tour who actually put golf on the back burner for a different cause this spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Had a chance to catch up with Sarah Hoffman, and I just admitted to her, I'm going into this blind with your unique story. But Sarah, you're in Michigan now working as a nurse. What led you to the point where you decided that you needed to do something with your skills as a nurse this spring?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We started off season at the beginning of March, and at that point, coronavirus was basically in Washington, and we were aware that it could get bad, but we weren't, I mean, no one really knew what to expect. So we had a meeting with Mike Loon and Mike Nichols, who are the commissioner of the LPGA and the Symetra Tour, at our first event. And basically at that time it was, hey, there's going to be hand sanitizer on the first tee. Let's not shake hands at the end of the round or give each other hugs at the end of the round. Kind of keep some space. And we'll see what we have to do moving forward. We're willing to take necessary precautions. Well, after that first event, we had 2 weeks off, and then we were supposed to go out to California. And then those two events got postponed. And so at that point, we had a month off built into our schedule. So I was applying for jobs in Atlanta, where I was living at the time, and I couldn't get a short, short 4-week contract or anything like that. Typically, travel nursing contracts want you to work 13 weeks. And Atlanta wasn't affected too bad by coronavirus at that point, but Michigan was a hotbed. And I had a temporary position at Michigan Medicine. So once we got an update that our season was going to be postponed even further from the California events, that's when I knew that even though I was social distancing and, you know, not making unnecessary trips anywhere, I knew that I wasn't doing everything I could. And, you know, when I looked back on this, I didn't want to regret not helping as much as I could.
So you're trained as a nurse and pursuing your dream of being on the LPGA Tour. How do those things work together right now? Even though you're not golfing on tour, how are you staying active with the golf side of you?
Yeah, for sure. Nursing is great in that I work 3 12-hour shifts a week, so I still have 4 days a week that I can still practice and play. And then in any other, you know, quote-unquote normal year, I'm able to work a full-time job in the off-season that, you know, pays pretty well, and I've been able to support myself financially for the past 4 years of playing professional golf.
Have you found access to golf courses in Michigan during this time when a lot of things have been closed?
Yeah, when I first got up here, golf courses were just starting to open up at the end of April. Practice facilities were closed, but luckily Travis Point, my parents live on that course, and I was able to practice out there or play out there. And then once the facilities opened back up, I've been able to practice as well now.
Oh, good. Sarah Hoffman is with the Symetra Tour, and it's a Futures LPGA Tour. And while they're kind of shut down and on hiatus, she's using her other skills as a nurse in her native Michigan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your role as a nurse in Michigan, what is it right now?
I work on the orthopedic trauma unit at the University of Michigan Hospital. And so typically what we see is a lot of hip and knee replacements or car accidents with traumas, anything like that. But, you know, in April and May, elective surgeries were canceled. So we were just seeing the emergent surgeries that patients couldn't wait. So we were seeing a higher level of care of patients than we were necessarily used to. But luckily, we didn't have any coronavirus patients on our floor. We didn't get to that point.
Of course, you still had to take all the precautions. So comparing your previous experience as a nurse to what it's been like this spring, how different is it?
It's different in the fact that there's only a certain amount of checkpoints you can go into the hospital. You're asked if you have a fever, cold, cough, or flu-like symptoms, and then you're given a surgical mask that you're going to wear for the next 13 hours of your shift.
Whoa.
13 hours is a lot. I know. I have a lot of friends that, you know, complain about having to wear it to the grocery store, but 13 hours is a lot. And then, of course, you know, in April when I signed up to go back to work, we really didn't know how it was going to play out. At that point, Michigan was one of the top three cities, I believe. And I was, you know, Michigan, whatever, one of the top three states with COVID-19 cases. And so I was prepared. We had to do educational materials. Our nurse educator had sent us out emails training us, preparing us for the potential of seeing COVID-19 patients on our floor. And at the peak, our hospital had 240 patients had tested positive for COVID-19. So luckily, we had some stay-at-home orders placed, and that we saw a direct impact on the front lines, and it was such that our floor didn't have to have COVID-19 patients. But just, you know, dealing with patients that are going through emergency surgeries and they can't have the support of their loved ones at the bedside, so it's really tough for them. You know, they're in the hospital for something they didn't plan, and they're very sick, and they can't have their, you know, spouses with them or kids with them, or, you know, whoever.
When you think about the emotions and the tension of this spring, and I could feel it at the grocery store, weirdly enough, but you mentioned it, you go in and people are nervous and you can almost feel the anxiety. How different were the emotions as a nurse, but working with medical staff on the front lines over the past several weeks?
Yeah, I think when it all started, everyone was just anxious, very nervous. We're not, you know, we're trained in certain things and we kind of know what to expect, but with coronavirus, we didn't know what to expect. That's kind of the nature of a novel virus. And it was just, it's tough. I think we've kind of, you know, we're flexible and we've learned kind of the new normal. So it's not maybe as scary anymore as far as our work, but as far as, the patient side of things, you know, I wasn't in an ICU, but I've heard stories of, you know, people coding, several codes going on, that's when, you know, someone's heart stops or they stop breathing. You know, several codes going on at the same time. And it's these patients are very, very sick. And and it's, you know, they don't have their family there. So some nurses are holding up iPads so that the patients can say, you know, their last goodbyes to their family. And I can't imagine what it was like working in the ICU at that time.
How much does it matter to you to be involved in a profession that is in the thick of things and in the fire, so to speak? I mean, there are a lot of people who are working in essential jobs, but to be in healthcare, you're putting yourself on the front lines and you're choosing to do that. So what does it mean to you, though, to be part of that profession?
I'm so proud to be a nurse. I, you know, went into nursing to be able to help people. I didn't predict a pandemic. I didn't know that this was going to happen. But I see how nurses, how medical personnel, like, have stepped up and really handled this. And it just makes me so proud to be a nurse.
Sarah Hoffman is also a pro golfer, hoping to get to the LPGA Tour, but right now working as a nurse in Michigan and working with patients who are now getting back in and able to have the surgeries that they need. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I ask this question sometimes on my show because we can get so wrapped up in the bleak and the painful and the fear and the anxiety. But I think it's important to hold on to hope. So where have you seen kind of those rays of hope that you can hang on to with people that you work with, Sarah?
As far as Rays of Hope, I think it's exciting to see that our peak in, at least in Michigan medicine, you know, was 230, and about a month and a half later, we're down to less than 40 patients that have tested positive with COVID-19. So I think that's awesome news that there's, you know, less patients in a hospital. And then it's just, I'm hoping that we're getting closer to a vaccine, and then that's going to help a ton as well. Looks like states are starting to open back up a little bit. So, you know, as long as people are taking necessary precautions, I think that's a step in the right direction. It's all, you know, we're not going to kind of know what happens until it happens, but, you know, hopefully these are steps in the right direction.
Agreed. And then there's the golf portion of it. And we know the PGA Tour is returning in actually just a few days and getting set for an event in Fort Worth. What's the latest that you've heard about your tour and being able to golf again?
Yeah, so the Metro Tour is planned to start back up the last week of July in Battle Creek, Michigan. So hopefully that happens. We'll see. We have about 9 events on the schedule. And then as far as this season, it's kind of a freebie, if you will. Everyone's gonna, it's official money, and so it'll count towards record books, it'll count towards your, you know, official money and status wise. But as far as starting 2021, we won't have any Q school this year to determine status for next year. Everyone's just gonna start 2021 with the same status we had in 2020.
Wow. Do you anticipate, though, being able to participate in some of the events, even if kind of things are all different?
Yeah, I plan on playing as many events as I can. I credit Mike Wan and Mike Nichols and the rest of the Metro and LPGA staff. They're doing a great job of talking to local experts and local health experts and trying to figure out a way to do this that's not only safe for us as players, but safe for the community as well.
We know that there are lots of protocols in place there. So even for golf, which kind of lends itself to some distance anyway, it's different because there are limited numbers of people who can be on the course and at the course. Media is different. And I know that you're used to walking courses and being out on courses where there aren't a lot of people. But when you think about, you know, sporting events and kind of the you know, stripped down bear with the fewest number of people possible, what do you feel like that'll be like?
I think it's interesting. I think it was Rory that said he doesn't want to play the Ryder Cup this year if it's going to be played without fans. I can't imagine a Ryder Cup-like environment without fans. There's no taunting. There's no. I mean, that was going to be our, you know, home field advantage this year. So I kind of hope that they postpone that as well. But yeah, this amateur tour, we're lucky to have a few fans out there. You know, maybe our mom or dad friends, a couple local people. But for us, I don't think it'll be too different, but for the PGA and the LPGA, it's going to be even quieter than normal, I guess.
Yeah. What about in terms of the, you know, the support staff and the people? Because I don't know how many people realize the number, like the legion of personnel it takes to run a golf tournament really does. There's so many people that are out there. You mentioned your tour doing such a great job to kind of keep everyone informed. But, you know, the behind the scenes part without all the personnel, that would be different, too.
Yeah, we normally have a live scorer that's a volunteer from the community that goes with every group and kind of handles the live scoring aspect to keep the leaderboard up to date. We have spotters on every hole. You know, obviously all the Symetra Tour staff as well, the operations guys. There's obviously a lot of people that go into it. And golf, like you said, lends itself to, I feel pretty safe going out there and, you know, in threesomes, and you can play golf without getting within 6 feet of somebody. But it's things like player dining, like how are we going to handle that? Is it just going to be, kind of seems like it's going to be grab and go, but normally we have volunteer caddies from the community, and I don't think we're going to be able to have volunteer caddies anymore. So then that lends itself to us having to carry or push our own bags now, and there's things that are different, and I'm sure there's things that I'm not even anticipating that are going to be different. So we're all going to have to be flexible and kind of understanding.
how interested are you in seeing what happens with this first PGA event in Fort Worth? Because it's kind of the first dive back into the golf world.
Yeah, I'm excited just to watch some golf again. I've watched some of the, charity matches that they've had, and that's been fun. But, I'm excited to see what happens. And, yeah, I'm sure I'm interested to see how many people tune in and watch on TV as well.
Well, considering that charity match with, and I know they're very high profile, but Tiger and Phil and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady got almost 6 million viewers, I think people are really interested to see any type of live sporting event right now.
I think people are desperate. I've had like the cornhole match. I've had people Snapchat that to me like, oh my gosh, live sports are back. And it's, it's like cornhole matches and stuff like that. So I think people are just like, competitive spirits just want to see other people competing again. It doesn't matter what it is.
Well, it's amazing to talk to you and hear your story and to hear how you're balancing the two. And I thank you so much for the time. We look forward to seeing you out there on the golf course again sometime soon, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. I appreciate you having me on.
Sarah Hoffman, look for her on the LPGA Tour coming soon. Well, maybe not so soon, but she's working toward that and is accumulating money to be able to support herself, but is also trying to accumulate points. And there won't be Q School. And I think that's just another example of how everything in 2020 has been completely thrown into flux, and how, regardless of your profession or your career, we're all having to adjust and roll with the punches. But she chose to leave Atlanta and leave, her routine and preparing for golf, and to go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where she can serve as a nurse, which I think is admirable, and I appreciate her service.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who was taking the opportunity on Thursday, as many coaches and members of the sports community were, to share their thoughts, their feelings, and to encourage people to have conversations, to listen, but also to dialogue, to speak. And that was the subject of our last show, was conversations. What conversations are you having with family and friends this week about what's happening in our nation? George Floyd's funeral was on Thursday. And as you can imagine, there were a lot of people there, including members of the Minnesota Vikings. That was the sports team that I saw that was highlighted there, but emotional. And a 10th night of protesting followed in cities around the country. And so the protesting will eventually wane. It will eventually stop. What comes after? What comes next? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, A Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you haven't heard it, I want to use this again. It is a video that's been circulating on various forms of social media. Producer Chris, if you can find it and put it up on our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS, that would be great. But it's a compilation of names and voices from inside the NFL that make powerful statements. And it's different than seeing it on a screen, meaning words. It's different than seeing black and white words on a screen when you can hear the voices of NFL superstars make their plea and draw attention to not only their feelings, but their perspectives. It packs a punch, and you can't watch it and not, in my opinion, not watch it and not be moved, not feel like, okay, as they say, enough is enough.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd.
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd.
If I was George Floyd.
If I was George Floyd.
I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Some of the voices you may recognize, Patrick Mahomes is in there. Also Saquon Barkley. I remember seeing Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, interestingly enough, there and there as well. Tyrann Mathieu, he's in there too. And so I would encourage you to watch it. It's just as powerful when you hear it, but also seeing their faces and recognizing who the players are if we don't recognize all of the voices. And so it was put together and it surfaced on social media yesterday, and a lot of the various teams are sharing it, as well as the individual players. The statement at the beginning, what if I was brutally murdered? What if I was the victim of police brutality? Does it take a professional athlete, a household name, before it's taken seriously? I certainly hope not. Many of you share with us the conversations you're having with your own family, your coworkers this week. I appreciate that. They're personal conversations, and yet they're conversations that we need to have and on a larger scale. So really important. What happens next? That's just as important as the protest. It's just as important as the emotion and the passion and the compassion and the empathy behind it. There needs to be action. The Packers put together their own video. It was called Enough is Enough, but they also had a solution in there about what they believe should happen moving forward. So make sure you check that one out as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. That lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Eric is listening in Michigan. Eric, welcome to the show.
I express my sympathy and prayers for the families of the departed. I want to offer a suggestion for Major League Baseball, and that is to have the players receive a 10% deferral of wages to be paid in the second half of the season next year, maybe with 5, 10% interest, but they would have also the median between 50 games and 110 games, which would be 80 games or 81.
Right.
And this is my thought on the matter, that this might be a way of getting closer together on an agreement.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I'm sorry, I hear a little feedback, but it's interesting you say that because someone did the math where from the 50 games where the owners have counterproposed and the 110 games that the players want, or the 114 games that the players want, right in the middle is the 82, which was the a proposal where they started. So some are saying it's a bit of a bargaining ploy because they both know that they're going to end up on common ground somewhere in the middle. The problem is the money is still an issue for both sides. Owners say they'll lose more money by playing more games. Obviously, the players believe that also applies to them, and neither one wants to give an inch. So right now we're stuck. But you're right. The idea would be somewhere in the middle.
The idea also of the 10% deferral of the pay.
Yep.
And then to get it back at the last half of the next season. And maybe with 10% interest on it or 5%, something like that might get them to think.
Yeah, no, I think the deferral is a good idea, sir. Thank you. We're up at the top of the hour here, so we have to let you go. But the deferral, the deferred payments is a piece of the player's counter proposal. They were willing to defer some payments and as in lieu of giving up their money, right? So they've got to find some common ground because they look terrible with NBA and NHL both launching their return to play plans and baseball supposed to be in season and is still sitting on its hands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.